Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna. Thank you all for coming this evening. On Friday, day after tomorrow, is Lord Vamanadeva's appearance day. And he is an important incarnation of Lord Krishna, one of the most important. So we thought that just to introduce the subject to you all, we would discuss about Lord Vamana and his appearance and the different events surrounding that, and some of the interesting points that come up. There's a number of points of understanding and philosophy which come up, which are very important to anyone who's trying to be a devotee and develop their Krishna consciousness. So let's go through the story here. Some of you, of course, may well be fairly familiar with the basic ideas, at least. So, but anyway, let us go through. And we fast as with Lord Ramachandra, Lord Nrisingadev, and various other avatars of the Lord. We will fast, but there's a slightly tricky technical consideration, is that tomorrow is Ekadasi. And so, of course, we have to fast from grains and so on. And then, at least technically speaking, on Friday, which is the appearance day of Lord Vamana, strictly speaking, or ideally you might say, we have to break our fast from grains. There's a particular window of time. You may be aware of that. It's called a parana. From this time to this time in the morning, that ideally one should break the Ekadasi, break the fast in that sense of fasting for Ekadasi, and one should eat some grains, but that's in the morning. Usually it's perhaps from something like from 6 to 10 or 7 to 9, it varies, but it's usually before that period concludes, before 10 o'clock. And fasting on Lord Vamana's appearance day is till midday. So what to do? Well, what to do is we fast tomorrow. Yes. We fast on the Ekadasi till midday tomorrow. And then on the Friday, Lord Vamana's appearance day, then we take prasadam basically as usual. And particularly, we would take some grains during that parana time. It's like the ideal time for breaking the Ekadasi. So, I don't know how many of you were aware of it. Maybe you were all aware of it, perhaps. But there you go. So if you're an initiated devotee or someone who's just trying to take Krishna consciousness seriously and follow things nicely, then you should do like that. You should fast till midday tomorrow completely. You can drink water, but you shouldn't eat anything. And then from 12 onwards, you can take Ekadasi Prasadam. Then Friday morning, the appearance day of Lord Vamana, then you just take Prasadam as usual. There you go. Well, and you break your Ekadasi during that particular time in the morning. So, devotees and friends, we are going to just go into the subject matter of the appearance of Lord Vamanadev here. It's actually a long story. You might be surprised how long it is. It really is quite long. It actually, it's all in the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But the whole story, if you want to get into just all of it, it goes right back to the beginning of the 8th canto. And there are all sorts of events which lead up to the appearance of Lord Vamana, including, for example, the appearance of the Lord as Mohini, the female form of Krishna, not Srimati Radharani, but Mohini is a form of Krishna himself. And there are all sorts of things. If you want to get into more of the detail, come back on Friday morning, then during our Bhagavatam class time from 7:30 or so. We'll probably go in more detail into the background and how it all came to this point. But this evening, we will discuss from just immediately before, very shortly before Lord Vamana appeared. So the scene is that Bali Maharaj, the king of the demons, because of all the things which have happened, which we're not going to go through this evening, but all the different ups and downs and controversies prior to this particular point in the 8th canto, Bali Maharaj got really inspired. Really inspired to attack the demigods. When we say demigods now in this context, we don't include Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, but next to them, next down the list, is Lord Indra, who's the king of the administrative demigods. That's what his role is called. So all the other demigods like Yamaraj, Surya, Chandra, Vayu, and so many others, they're directly under Lord Indra. They're part of his management team, and he's supervising them. So Bali Maharaj, who, as described in the previous chapters, well, he actually got defeated by Lord Indra. And it's not a simple story, as we mentioned. But he became determined that he must defeat Indra and kick him out of the heavenly planets and take over. So he prepared himself for that. And then he and his massive, massive army advanced on Indra's capital. And let me just read a couple of verses here which describe Indra's capital. It's a very nice place. You know, if you think that the Lanis in some wealthy part, Westville or whatever, if you think they're doing nicely financially and in terms of having nice houses and all that, listen to just a little bit of this. The doors of the city, means the gates of the city, were made of solid gold plates. And the gateways, like the frames of the gates, were of excellent marble. The city was full of courtyards, wide roads, assembly houses, and not less than 100 million airplanes. That's more than SAA. The crossroads in the city where the different avenues meet, the crossroads were made of pearl. Means like the road surface. It was not tar seal or something of that sort. And there were sitting places, devotees, listen to this. There were sitting places made of diamond and coral. Hare Krishna. And doesn't mean a few little diamonds or a few little cubic zirconia just sort of here and there. It means the seats were made of diamonds. It's another dimension, actually. The breezes blowing in the streets of the city bore the fragrance of the flowers falling from the hair of the women of the demigods. The city was shaded by canopies decorated with pearls, and the domes of the palaces had flags of pearl and gold, and so on. You get the idea. It's nice, isn't it? That's better than Westville, better than Bryanston, or better than Beverly Hills. It's another dimension. So anyway, there they were, and it's in this most amazing situation. Actually, while I'm at it, let me just read one more verse. It's interesting. No one who was sinful, envious, violent toward other living entities, cunning, falsely proud, lusty, or greedy could enter that city. The people who lived there were all devoid of these faults. I suspect some of us might not be allowed in. Okay, so there they were. It's this most astonishing situation. And this is not Goloka Vrindavan. This is not Vaikuntha. This is just the heavenly planets, or the planet of Indra, particularly Indra Loka. It's not even the planet of Lord Brahma, which is much higher, much, much higher. So there they were, and then suddenly they saw, here comes this gigantic army of Bali Maharaj. And they're just coming, and they're just ready to attack the city of Lord Indra. So, yes, this is a very, very serious problem. So, Lord Indra and his close associates, what did they do? They approached their priest or spiritual master, say spiritual master, Brihaspati, and asked him, what has happened to these people? You know, just not long ago we defeated them and we actually wiped them out. We just devastated them not long ago. So, but now they have recovered themselves, and more than recovered themselves, they're just in this amazing condition now. Incredible condition, extremely powerful. So Indra asked, what has happened? What is the cause of Bali's power and the power of his associates? How has this happened? And Brihaspati answers, this is an important spiritual point, philosophical point. It's a point you've heard many, many times before, I imagine. But let's read this. It's very important. Sri Gurur Uvacha, that's Brihaspati. Janami Magavan Chatror Unatira Sikaranam Shishyayo Paritam Tejo Brigubir Brahmavadabi. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, said, O Indra, I know the cause for your enemies becoming so powerful. The Brahmin descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased by Bali Maharaj, their disciple, endowed him with such extraordinary power. Let's read Srila Prabhupada's purport. Brihaspati, the spiritual master of the demigods, informed Indra, ordinarily Bali and his forces could not achieve such strength, but it appears that the Brahmin descendants of Bhrigu Muni, being pleased with Bali Maharaj, endowed them with this special power. In other words, Brihaspati informed Indra that Bali Maharaj's prowess was not his own, but that of his exalted guru, Shukracharya. We sing in our daily prayers, Yasya Prasada Bhagavat Prasado, Yasya Prasada Nagatikatopi. By the pleasure of the spiritual master, one can get extraordinary power, especially in spiritual advancement. The blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. That's important, isn't it? I hope you got that. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chite Te Kariya Aikya Arna Kariyo Mane Asha. Especially for spiritual advancement, one should carry out the bona fide order of the spiritual master. By the parampara system, one can thus be endowed with the original spiritual power coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Evam parampara praptam imam rajashayo vidu. So this is a point I'm sure you all, I would imagine, all have heard many times. This sort of subject and related points. But one thing that struck me here is that Brihaspati told Indra that Bali Maharaj has become powerful now, but it's not his power. It's not his power. It's not that he got fired up or somehow did something and brought more power out of himself, his own power. It was not his power. He was given or loaned that power by his spiritual master. So this is something we should bear in mind. If we find somehow or other that we are doing nicely, let us hope that we find things are going well in Krishna consciousness. Chanting is going nicely. Service is going nicely. All these things are going nicely and we're happy in Krishna consciousness. But as soon as you start thinking, oh, I'm doing well, then you'll see it'll be lost. Just like that bang. It'll just be gone in no time. Because that strength and that spiritual vitality is not really our own. It's coming through disciplic succession from the spiritual master, or through the spiritual master. And in this case, of course, Bali Maharaj and his army, they had become not spiritually strong, of course. They had become materially strong in military terms. And we're not really interested in that. No. But it's also an interesting point, is that by the blessings of higher personalities, particularly transcendental personalities, one can and will really become strong in all respects, particularly spiritually, which is the main thing, of course, but even in other respects. So anyway, that's something. Those are some points to bear in mind. So then, Brihaspati tells Lord Indra and his other leaders that the same thing could happen to you. Yeah, I could give you also. But there's no time. There's no time. So you have to head for the hills. And they had to leave. They just abandon everything and hide. So, you know, even things like this happen to big demigods like Lord Indra. What to speak of little people like us? You know, something may go wrong in our lives, particularly if we make some serious offenses. And then our lives may fall to pieces, including materially. And, you know, we may even end up practically, literally on the street. This is actually what happened to Lord Indra. And they had to hide behind clouds and places like that for some time. Yeah. So, life gets tough in the heavenly planets also. We shouldn't think, yes, I will go up to some heavenly position and then everything will be fine. It will not be fine. Abrahma bhuvanal loka puna arvartanorjana, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. From the highest planet, beyond Indra's planet even, Brahma loka, down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. So that's what happens. And Bali Maharaj takes over and starts running the universe. Amazing. So then, next really important thing that happens is that Aditi, the mother of the demigods, the mother of Lord Indra and many of the other demigods, she gets very disturbed that her sons, her children, have just lost everything. It's just a total catastrophe. So she, in that mood of extreme concern, she then decides she wants to do something about it. And, yeah, but she's in great distress. And her husband, Kasyapa, walks in and sees this. And he doesn't know what the problem is. Why is she so distressed? And he starts to question her. And I just want to read this verse here, because it's such an interesting point. He starts questioning her, that, okay, I can see you are distressed. What happened? What went wrong? So, the very first thing he suggests, which might have gone wrong, is as follows. I wonder whether, because of being too attached to the members of your family, you failed to properly receive uninvited guests who therefore were not welcomed and went away. Isn't that interesting? He's trying to think, here's my wife, the lady of the house, she lives in the house. She's so upset. What could have happened? And it's not that the first thing he suggests is, oh, did someone hijack you when you were on the way to pick and pay in your chariot? Did someone attack you? Did someone insult you terribly? He doesn't suggest these types of things. His first suggestion is, were you not able to receive an uninvited guest properly, and they felt uncomfortable, and so they just left? Anyway, you think about that. It's a very interesting point, isn't it? The way we treat guests and how we look after them and care for them, that this matters. It matters. It's not just a matter of social nicety or something like that. It really matters. And if we do not look after guests properly, and including particularly uninvited guests, then we may get a real reaction. The Sanskrit term for uninvited guest is atithi. I think it's the same word in Hindi. Maybe. Anyway, atithi. Tithi means like a fixed date. Tithi. Like there's Janmashtami Tithi. It's a fixed date. So a person who visits, who has pre-arranged their visit, then that's a tithi. But someone who just appears out of the blue, with no arrangement, no announcement, nothing, just rolls up on your doorstep, they are atithi. Atithi. No arrangement. But there's a saying, anyway, I don't know if it's Hindi or Sanskrit, but it's probably Sanskrit. Atithi bhava deva. Am I right? Are you familiar with that? The uninvited guest should be considered to be as God. So then she explains the problem and everything, and he tells her a process by which she can get not just a solution, but she can get the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, and he will then do what she wants. This is called the Payavrata the Pia Vrata ceremony. It's a particular type of discipline. It's described actually in this chapter, and you know, if any of you are thinking you might like the Supreme Lord as your son, well, you could try it, but seriously, not really. It's just on another level altogether, for people who are on another level altogether. So she does this very austere Pia Vrata ceremony. Oh, so extremely austere. And sure enough, Lord Vamana is born as her son. And then, I think you know the story, don't you? Lord Vamana, then he's a little brahmachari boy. Prabhupada uses the term dwarf. As far as I can understand, it just means he was small. Not like he's sort of a deformed person, like an actual dwarf as such. So he appeared, and then she asked him, please help, get the control of the universe back for my son Indra and so many of her other sons and daughters were demigods too, and they'd all been kicked out. So Vamana agreed, and off he went to the place. Well, Bali Maharaj, in order to really try to cement his position as controller of the universe, he was doing big fire yajnas. And he was doing one such yajna somewhere. And Lord Vamana just came walking in. And everyone was amazed. O king, because of Vamanadeva's bright effulgence, the priests, along with Bali Maharaj, and all the members of the assembly, were robbed of their splendor. They just looked sort of like dead, dull. Thus they began to ask one another whether the sun god himself, Sanat Kumar, or the fire god, had personally come to see the sacrificial ceremony. So, but it was, you know, they're thinking, wow, the sun god, that would be big. But it's actually the Supreme Lord. He's much more than the sun god. So in he came, and Bali Maharaj, in his way, he was very pious, in his way. And one part of his piety was, whenever a Brahmin would come, he would ask them, what can I give you? Just you tell me, it's yours. And people, the Brahmins would ask, and he would just give them, even if it meant like a country, you know, something very, very major, he'd just give it. So Lord Vamana came, and Bali Maharaj asked him, so, what would you like? And Lord Vamana said, well, Vamana glorified him in some really unusual ways. He said, you come in such an exalted family. Just think of your ancestors. What about Hiranyaksha? What a great person he was. Even he gave trouble to Lord Vishnu. Oh, he was so great. And what to speak of Hiranyakashipu? He really gave trouble to Lord Vishnu. You have such great ancestry. That's interesting, isn't it? So this is Vamana glorifying Bali Maharaj. And then he says that, okay, yes, if you're offering, I would like to get as much land as I can cover. He says, here it is here. O king of the Daityas, the demons, from your majesty who come from such a noble family, so noble, Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and who are able to give charity munificently, I ask only 3 pieces of land to the measurement of my steps, not your steps. Yeah, his own steps, and not Bali Maharaj's steps either. So Bali Maharaj, he was kind of patronizing or even ridiculing him a bit and saying, you know, you're a nice Brahmin boy. You don't understand the value of things. Let me give you a country. How's that? Or one of the islands of the universe. Yeah, like a section of the whole universe. Let me give you that. You don't understand the value of things because you're too young. And Lord Vamana, well, let's see what. Yeah, what Lord Vamana says. Oh, my dear king, even the entirety of whatever there may be within the 3 worlds to satisfy one's senses cannot satisfy a person whose senses are uncontrolled. If I were not satisfied with 3 paces of land, then surely I would not be satisfied even with possessing one of the 7 islands consisting of 9 varshas. Even if I possessed one island, I would hope to get others. This is an extremely important point to bear in mind, that material desire knows no limits. It knows no boundaries. Yeah. You can desire to become rich, and then perhaps you become rich. But then it's not like, yes, okay, now I'm rich, that's fine, thank you. But no, now it's, I want to become more rich. This is the nature of material consciousness. And we as devotees should be very careful about that. Not to let material desire sort of take control of our lives, because it can lead us way down the wrong path and we can become deeply confused. So in the middle of all this, Shukracharya, who is the guru of Bali Maharaj, he suddenly realizes, wait a minute, this little Brahman is Vishnu. And Vishnu is the Lord of the demigods. He is the one who killed your various ancestors, Hiranyakashipu and company. This is a trick. This is a trick. But Bali Maharaj had already promised, and he refused to break his promise. And he said that Mother Earth can tolerate any weight, but she cannot tolerate a liar. That's another thing to remember, devotees. Yeah. Mother Earth can tolerate any weight, but she cannot tolerate a liar. So Bali Maharaj was refusing, and Shukracharya is trying to convince him that that you should break your promise. It's okay. Let's see. Let's tell you a few of the choice things that he says. Well, one thing he says is, if you make a promise, but you do not utter the word Om before you make the promise, you can break the promise. It's not a real promise, so you can break it. That's good, isn't it? I mean, sounds good. Yeah. This is just, he's just being like a smart aleck. Therefore, the safe course is to say no. Although it is false, it protects one completely. It draws the compassion of others towards oneself, and it gives one full facility to collect money from others for oneself. Hare Krishna. There you go. So, it's okay to lie because it protects you. It makes people compassionate towards you. And it gives you facility for begging from people. This is really super bogus logic. Yeah. And listen to this one. This is just the sort of the icing on the cake. In flattering a woman to bring her under control, Hare Krishna, in joking, in a marriage ceremony, in earning one's livelihood when one's life is in danger, in protecting cows and Brahminical culture, or in protecting a person from an enemy's hand, falsity is never condemned. Now, don't think that this is now, this is Srimad Bhagavatam, and of course it must be true. No, this is Shukracharya appearing, a guest appearance in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is not really the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is just Srimad Bhagavatam showing us how people's minds can get twisted when they become materialistic. Because Shukracharya, he is financial, he is the guru, but he is financially dependent on Bali Maharaj. So if Bali Maharaj is if Bali Maharaj loses everything, Shukracharya loses everything. Yes? So therefore he's very concerned. And this is really the mood behind his making these kind of strange suggestions. Yeah. Ultimately, the mood is that I don't want to lose out on my income. If I do, I may have to go to the labor exchange at Prospectum and queue up to get some casual labor somewhere to make ends meet. So, in other words, when people become desperate for their maintenance, for their safety, they may do all sorts of crazy things, actually, and like degraded things that you normally just wouldn't expect of them. If they're really materially attached, if they're advanced devotees, and their life's in danger, or they may lose a lot, then they'll just say, Hare Krishna. But if they're materially attached, then they may just become terribly bewildered and just make like complete asses of themselves. Yeah. So basically, Bali Maharaj refuses. And Shukracharya curses him. It's an interesting example of a disciple disobeying the order of the spiritual master. Of course, Shukracharya is not really a spiritual master. He's a priest. He's a very powerful Brahmin. He has mystical powers, things like this, and therefore he was able to bless, and Bali Maharaj became powerful through his blessings. But if he were a bona fide spiritual master, when he understood this is Vishnu, then he would have said, oh, very nice. Tell him, look, you know, 3 steps of land, just take everything. Yeah. But because he's not an actual Krishna conscious person, what to speak of a bona fide Krishna conscious spiritual master, he just went off into this great spin. So he cursed Bali Maharaj to go to hell, to lose everything and go to hell. And then, but Bali Maharaj, he just told the Lord, you please take your steps. With the first step, Lord Vamana covered the lower and middle planetary systems. With the second step, he covered the higher heavenly planetary systems. And then he turned around to Bali Maharaj and said, you promised me 3 steps of land. You've only given me 2, because that's all there is in the universe. There's just the 3 worlds, the lower, middle, and upper planetary systems. That's all there is. That's all that Bali Maharaj had. But now it was gone in 2 steps, and the Lord, you know, he's being tricky for the sake of the pastime, and ultimately for bringing out the best in Bali Maharaj. So the Lord told him, listen, you are a cheater. Yeah. You told me you'd give me 3 steps of land. You gave me 2. And you're not giving any more. You are a rascal. And he arrested, or he had Garuda arrest Bali Maharaj and tie him up. Yeah. It's amazing. And Bali Maharaj, now he's tied up. And then Bali Maharaj famously said, my Lord, for your 3rd step, please put it on my head. And Lord Vamana did that. And that way he got his 3 steps of land. He got the whole universe back for the demigods. And, you know, it's a little bit of a long story, but basically, the demons had to leave the heavenly planets. They got kicked out. Bali Maharaj, Lord Vamana told him, I am going to give you a special place. You've lost this Indraloka and so much of the rest of the universe. I'm going to give you a place even better than Indraloka. I'm going to give you Sutala. Sutala. is technically, or sort of geographically, it's in the lower part of the universe. But it is what is called a subterranean heavenly planet. And it's far more opulent than Indraloka. And the Lord said, I will stay there as your doorkeeper. And any time you want, you can come and speak to me. Yes. So like this, Shukracharya's curse was upheld because he was sent down to a lower planet. But it's a, you know, not an ordinary lower planet at all. And he lost everything otherwise. So Bali Maharaj, he's very special personality. You know, we have the 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. Hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet, and offering prayers, worshipping, befriending, and serving, and whatever, the 9 processes. The last one is Atma Nivedana, surrendering everything. Each of those 9 processes has a particular person who is the prime example of that. The best, for example, the best hearer, the best chanter. The best hearer was Maharaj Parikshit and the best chanter was Shukadeva Goswami. The best person who surrendered everything is Bali Maharaj. Yeah. So he's a very special personality, and this is a very special pastime. And we've got a couple of days now, or a day or so before the actual day. In the meantime, we can meditate on it. And you can read it if you've got access to the Bhagavatam. It's the 8th, in the 8th canto. So much very interesting and important information there. So there you go, devotees. That is, in brief, the story of Lord Vamanadev. Shri Vamanadev ki. Shri Vamanadev ki. Shri Vamanadev ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gopremanande.
His grace Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj.
Oh. Okay. You didn't. Nobody wrote any questions. Oh, I see. Anybody want to ask a question? Make a comment? If not, that's okay. And we'll hand you over to our MC, Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki. So, there were 4 persons who came for the first time. I hope they're here. We have some books to give you. I'll call their names out. If you're here, please come forward and we can give you. This is a book called Coming Back. And the names are Rita. Is Rita here? Not here. Mrs. Tunila, please come forward.
You're here for the first time, so you can give them a copy of this.
One copy.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
The next name is Rebecca. Is Rebecca here? Not yet. The last name, Shamila? Not yet. Oh, yeah. Okay, please come forward and collect your copy of Coming Back.
Are you here for the first time? Hare Krishna.
Okay, let's give her a round of applause. Okay. So we'd like to thank Maharaj for gracing us with his presence and for enlightening us on the appearance of Vamana Dev. As Maharaj mentioned, on Friday morning he will be elaborating further on this pastime. So those of you who are available, please come and get more nectar. So thank you all very much. There will be prasadam served as well. So as you leave, please partake of the prasadam. Thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Go Premanande. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.